All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know a lot of you don't like politics. Hey, man, I don't like politics. And I especially don't like Detroit politics. It just, I want to turn off. But believe me, you want to tune in for this. I believe, see, there's an election coming up for mayor next week. We may be approaching the era of Kwame Part 2. Jason Rowe, political strategist. Jason DeLorean Murray, good buddy of mine. He works at the Michigan Enjoyer with me. What's up, brother?
How you doing?
Okay, you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Are your boys going to be listening?
Oh, yeah. We got all the hockey dads going.
Let me give you the background, okay? I'm going to set this up. That's coming. I got to give you the background. According to an ancient Buddhist proverb, there are three things that cannot long be hidden. The sun, the moon, and the truth. In the new Detroit, there is now a fourth, the dirt. The city has quietly put out bid requests to dig up and replace poisoned dirt used by a contractor to fill demolition holes. Stay with me on this. The contractor, Brian McKinney, was suspended from city work last month after an independent investigation alleged that his company, Gyanga, used contaminated soil from the old Northland Mall to backfill holes in Detroit neighborhoods where houses once stood. McKinney, who once served prison times for weapon and drug possession, has also been banished from the city's wrecking board pending a final report from the city's Office of the Inspector General. McKinney is appealing his suspension. Remember that. He's appealing it, claiming he got the dirt from a city-approved source. And now the whole sordid affair is starting to unravel. The Enjoyer and the No Bullshit News Hour has since learned that McKinney and the city's demolition practices are now the subject of a sprawling organized crime investigation. We have also learned that the Office of Mayor Mike Duggan has ordered the name and likeness of McKinney and his companies not to be mentioned or posted on the city's social media accounts. And that's a remarkable shift by his honor, disappearing the man he once touted at the State of the City address as the model of minority contracting. Now, McKinney donated to politicians, rubbed elbows with high society, and was even appointed to the board of the Detroit Institute of Arts. McKinney, who's a demolition contractor, rose so high in the world of fine art that he was named co-chair of the DIA's 2024 gala. In just a few short years under Duggan's tutelage, McKinney also became fantastically wealthy, winning at least $64 million in city demolition contracts alone. Now, how far this goes is anyone's guess. According to city records, McKinney's company tore down approximately 2,500 houses in the city of Detroit. A randomly sample of those, of 40 of those, revealed that 80% were filled with toxic dirt containing things like arsenic, chromium, lead, mercury, and cadmium, among other potential killers. Now, the estimated cost of cleaning up just one of these sites is $60,000. At that price, the city might very well slide back into insolvency. On the city's southwest side, which you will see in a moment, near the Marathon Refinery, is another hellscape created by McKinney's company. At least a dozen structures were ground up and dumped in their holes. They remain there covered in plastic next to lots where children live. It's so bad, Gyanga has been kicked off the job. You'll hear from the lady who says, clean it up. I say, they forgot about you. She says, I guess so. I called Marathon, whose job that was. This is Big Oil. Big Oil said, this guy's so red hot that we got rid of him. We're getting a new guy. He's been suspended by the city. This is Marathon, who for 50 years, the residents have been complaining they've been poisoned. And they're like, that's a little bit poison too far. Go to theenjoyer.com and read the story. There is no doubt in my mind that the mayor and the city council knew about the grift in the demolition program. How could they not? I've been telling them for years. I sat in their offices and walked them through the documents. I wrote dozens of articles, did a dozen television reports. So did the other media outlets. There was a federal grand jury impaneled, a raid on the Land Bank Authority, a years-long multi-million dollar Treasury Department investigation, and it all just disappeared under Joe Biden, a close friend of Mike Duggan's. Now Biden is gone and Duggan's moving on, But the people of Detroit are still here, and so is the poison. Duggan's demolition program is quite likely Michigan's biggest environmental catastrophe of the century. But just like the sun, the truth is finally coming out. Now, I went with Ken Beck, my partner, and seeing is believing. If you are listening, you can go to any of my social media. You can go to enjoyer.com, any of their social media, and you can watch. Hit it, Mark. Good morning, neighbor. Come on in. I want to show you Mike Duggan's demo awesomeness. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. If you don't live here, I'm in Southwest Detroit, where Mike Duggan's handpicked and handmade demo guy was in charge of taking down all the old houses here. He never got to it because he got caught allegedly putting poison dirt from the Northland Mall into the holes in the city. Once that happened, they kicked him out of here. But he forgot to do a lot of stuff. Come along, I'll show you. There's a fixer-upper. That's not done. That one's not done either, Mike. And this must be the new community pool. That contractor, Brian McKinney, got really rich and he rubs elbows in high society now. Show him, Ken. So Brian's drinking high-end booze and people in the neighborhood are drinking from the cup of bitterness. What is that?
It used to be a house, but it's junk now. The mayor needs to hurry up and come get this stuff up. People say we have an accident and everything.
Yeah, come clean it up. Kids or some moron could get hurt in this thing. I don't know what you're complaining about, Vary. They threw some plastic over it.
They ain't doing no good.
You think? And look at the new bike lanes. Come on. This playboy party boy wants to be let back on the job. My perspective, I want to let him sweep the sidewalks. Not that anybody is.
Live from downtown Detroit, it's the No Bullshit News Hour with my main man, Charlie Liddell and Karen Dumas.
Consistent breaking news. Double bullshit.
Before we hear from Luke, remember, you should call him 248-663-4748 for sound financial advice. Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. Is this the hole-in-one?
It's a hole-in-one, $50,000 if you hit it.
Luke Nowacki, Financial Wealth Management. What is 50 grand after tax?
37,750.
What about state tax?
Yeah, that's, I'm talking, throwing both in there.
What about sales tax?
There's no sales tax.
Well, you're buying the beer.
It's income.
You'll buy the beer.
Eh, we write that off.
Luke Nowacki, Financial Wealth Management. 248-663-4748. Well, you know, when it rains, the power goes out. And when the power goes out, the internet goes out. When the internet goes out, I call my friend Matt and Bernie at XG Service Group. Look at Bernie here on his hands and knees, giving it everything he's got. Look at that man crack. So busy, he forgot to wear a belt. There's Matt right there getting the board together. That's 734-245-4100 if you need Matt and Bernie to come take care of your voice over internet, your security cameras, off-campus access control, Wi-Fi, and cameras for homes and business. They'll design it for you. You got restaurants, they do drive-through systems, railroad cameras for public safety, total wireless camera systems for your home and business. Yeah, that's right. Call XG Services at 734-245-4100. All right. You ready for breaking news? I received at my home, addressed to my business, return to sender to my home, with a marking in red. It says, important news, please read immediately. Completely anonymous. This letter alleges what's well known in Detroit political circles, that Detroit City Councilwoman Mary Sheffield, who is the front runner to become the next mayor of Detroit next week, was having a relationship with this guy while he was getting contracts from the city that she was voting on. It alleges, and it has very specific dates, locations, hotels. This is unbelievable. Now, I reached out to Miss Sheffield's people, and I'm just going to read you the string here, okay? You find it right here. Okay. So I went to city council yesterday. He's arguing over his suspension and wants back in.
Gayanga.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, hell.
Who decides that?
City council. So interesting. So I sat there in city council yesterday. God, man, the fucking. Don't ever be a city council person. You know, how many kooks show up there?
It's crazy town.
Present company included.
Yeah. I tried to play cool. But they are coming up to me and I was getting yelled at by security. So I'm sitting, 12 o'clock, Mary Sheffield, up in the amphitheater. She can see me, I can see her. So I texted her staff and I wrote, I'm in the building. If you have that answer. To which he wrote back, sorry about that, my man. What was the exact question? To which I wrote, basically, did the councilwoman have a personal relationship with Brian McKinney while he had financial business before the council? Did she receive gifts, travel, lodging, food from Mr. McKinney during her time on the council? To which he wrote, got it. Let me try to get you a response. I wrote back, I have a hard deadline, which he wrote back. They were getting to know each other, but weren't in a committed relationship while he had business before city council.
What?
What is that?
Do we want to just chew on that one for a minute before going? Wait, let's do that again. What? They were getting to know each other, but weren't in a committed relationship while he had business before city council.
There's a term for that.
Please.
Fucking.
Yeah. That's an admirable spin, though. I mean, that's... pretty brilliant choice of words. That spokesman did a hell of a job.
Are a political strategist. Yeah. This will forever be in your role. Yeah,
Did he though? Because I would say by using the word relationship, it shows that they're getting to know each other is part of a relationship, just not a committed one.
It makes it seem a little less tawdry than how Jason described it.
Okay.
Well, that's her people's words, not mine. They were getting to know each other, but weren't in a committed relationship. However, because she had no pecuniary, could you look that up for me, Ken? What does that mean? Financial? Pecuniary. P-E-C-U-N-I-A-R-Y.
That's a $10 word.
She had no pecuniary or financial interest in the contracts or matters before council. She was obligated, before council, she was obligated to vote when present. Because she had...
So she couldn't recuse herself?
She couldn't recuse herself, right?
Financial.
So, again, because she had no financial or financial interest.
Little
kind of sound legal here, aren't we?
A little redundant.
Pecuniary. Okay. However, because she had no pecuniary or financial interest in the contracts. Not in the contracts, maybe. But, man, you know.
But in the contact.
Relationships. Okay. In this town?
The spokesperson's worth his money, huh?
She was obligated to vote when present. It's also important to note that during that period, largely due to concerns raised through reporting and ongoing challenges within the demolition department, she consistently voted to deny the majority of demolition-related contracts, including his, brought before the council. Okay? We'll look into it. Take a word for it. I said, thank you for this. One other question. Can you confirm they spent Easter weekend together at the Miami Four Seasons in 2019, in which he picked up the check? To which he wrote, I'll check. I said, thanks. Again, I'm on deadline. Now this is, I don't know how you check this thoroughly, but apparently he checked. Here it comes. She doesn't recall the specifics of the trip. Which took place over 6 years ago. However, in our opinion, The details of her private life in this instance are inconsequential. Well, we'll get to his reasoning. They're not inconsequential, are they? You're men of the world, you pay taxes, you've been around. Are the details of her personal life inconsequential when they run up into public contracting and the public's health?
I'd say it's a big deal. And the fact that he's trying to get his company back in Detroit, what else is he trying to get back into?
Key word is public. She has a fiduciary responsibility to the public, and that's betrayed in this situation.
Even the appearance of this shit, from what we've been through, right? Remember the Kwame era? I mean, do we really need to go into it? All the relationships, the buddies, the rubbing elbows, we're flying around. Like, are we about ready to get this again?
I believe there was an Enjoyer headline back in the spring kind of notating this as the Coleman Young era 2.0.
Could be. Well, no, I don't know. I don't want to talk about Coleman Young. You don't remember it. We were kids. You know what I mean? We don't know. This could be the Mike Duggan. This is the Mike Duggan era. This is the Kwame era. Do you know that Detroit's mayor in 1930 got kicked out of office, got recalled because he was mobbed up and clanned up? Do you know the mayor in 1942, I think it's Richard Reardon, he went to prison, his sheriff, the prosecutors, for taking kickbacks, Republican. Do you know Louis Mariani, the last Republican mayor of Detroit, went to prison in 1969, couldn't explain how he had $250,000 in savings bond in his safe when he made $25,000 a year. Then we get into the Coleman Young era, the Ed McNamara era, the Kwame Kilpatrick era, the Mike, like, it's our culture. I thought we were done. That's what the national newspapers tell me. Fuck.
And Mary comes from a politically connected family that's tied into all of the Democratic machine of Detroit politics for the last 50 years.
Yeah, right? The Sheffields, yeah. You know about that? Like, okay, so you're in the... Let's finish this, and we'll go back to, like, what your buddies are thinking, you know, what they're thinking around this, like, okay. She doesn't recall the specifics of the trip, which took place 6 years ago. It did, in fact, take place 6 years ago, so that's specific.
By the way, yeah. Allegedly on Easter weekend, too. Don't most people remember Easter weekends? Yeah. I mean, it's not just a regular weekend.
It's a major holiday.
Yeah.
Now, I looked it up. You got contracts on the 2nd of April. He got contracts on the 17th of April. He got contracts on the 23rd of April. And Easter was the 21st.
Wow.
Jeez. That was a hell of a family trip.
However, in our opinion, the details of her private life in this instance are inconsequential because she did not have a duty to disclose or recuse herself from any vote based on the city's ethics ordinance and the advice she sought and received. Now, before we dive into that, Jason, longtime Politico, you've been caught up in scandals in D.C. and out west.
That spokesman might technically be correct about the ethics rules, which would be a pretty big hole in the ethics rules. But the spirit of what our expectations are for our elected officials to be voting on something and have that much influence on these contracts while she's having an affair with him is something that she should have recused herself just based on her fiduciary responsibility to the city, but for the transparency of being a public elected official in that situation.
Well, now, it wasn't a committed relationship.
No, they were just fucking.
Allegedly. Well, getting to know each other. That's euphemism, okay? Getting to know each other. We'll go with what they say. So much money there is there. It's a question because you cover for the Enjoyer very well. I might say really well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's amazing. Quickly. You've learned this business. You do a lot of work in the Western portion of the metro area, which is the money. It's very like Livonia, Northville, Novi, the guy's in, right? Is there an ennui, a tiredness of, you know, if we got to clean these holes up, Detroit's broke.
Yes, because the suburbs are consistently yearly, feels like annually, going back well over a decade now, we're being asked to fund this through various, you know, shady tax deals and all sorts
water
of things.
Water increases.
All sorts of
we're
things.
We're picking up the pension payments because we went bust the last time. The pensions for the bus drivers.
Distribution of wealth from the suburbs into the city. It even goes into the public schooling when we were continuously asked to vote to have our taxes sent down into Detroit. So yeah, it's a tiresome thing. You hear about this stuff like this, especially if you're a lifelong Metro Detroiter, you've been in Livonia or Northville or Novi for your whole life. So this is a tired old trope at this point. You're consistently seeing this. Nothing ever becomes clean down here to the degree that we see where our money's going, yet we keep getting asked for it over and over again.
Because these, you know? Like the Tiger Stadium is county funded. That's not just Detroit. You know, it's like, how does this play in Lansing, Jason Rowe, political strategist?
Well, I think one thing, I think we're burying the lead a little bit, and what's going to really resonate
with
Lansing
that in post.
Is
fucking
toxic dirt has been spread throughout the city of Detroit. And the poorest city in this state just had a bunch of toxic dirt dumped on every block, probably in the city, given the number of houses that you'd use, 2,500. That
well, Duggan's liking to tell the national media it's 47,000, but you look at the city's website, you listen to Cranes, right? It's 30,000. Does it matter at this point?
Well,
is this the biggest landfill in Michigan?
80% of the 40 homes or lots that were tested, 33 of the 40, 80% of them had toxic dirt. That's bigger than Flint. That's bigger than anything we've seen if this bears out.
Mm-hmm. And so nobody ever goes, nobody from Northville, nobody from the Washington Post, nobody from the Daily Mail, nobody anywhere, nobody from city council goes to the neighborhood and actually looks.
Getting white liberals from the suburbs to come into Detroit to look at these things, to actually pay attention, it's like pulling teeth. They won't do it.
Well, you know? Okay. Their representatives are black Democrats, you know, a Latina Democrat. Where are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Were you? I sat in, there's video to me going through Duggan in the beginning.
Meanwhile, and Ken can attest to this, we'll go into Brightmoor and do investigative reporting in there. And you see these empty lots with dirt piles of dirt lining up. Did that dirt come from Northland? And we saw little kids out there on the street playing right in front of it.
Oh, the kids. Is it this? Okay, let's continue with this. It's so tiring, man. Okay. She did not have a duty to disclose or recuse herself from any vote based on the city's ethics ordinance and advice she sought and received. Okay. Then, a couple minutes later, hey, man. I give it. Hey, man. Did some digging. No pun intended.
did he say?
Yeah, her people. Hey man, after doing some digging and researching her votes during that time, I now recall. Well, wait, you researched her votes, so no recall. Data, not recollections. I now recall, out of abundance of caution, and since she was advised of her obligation to cast a vote. So you have to cast. You are getting to know each other. But it's not, you know, solidified. We took a trip. But I'm obligated. I'm absolutely obligated. I got to vote here. And she made the decision to vote to deny all of his contracts. All. Is that from 2016 to present? Was it around Easter?
Yeah.
There's no record online. The way it works, the city council, the contracts come up. And unless they take a roll call, seeing no objections, it gets passed. There's no record and no objections. We will be getting on this. I will be talking to my dynamite friend over at the Detroit Free Press and the star of the Soul of Detroit, ML Elric, and we will team up and we will start excavating. Pun intended. Pun intended.
Good.
Okay, so let's go back here a second. If go ahead while I'm looking. You chip in here.
The implications for Duggan are extraordinary as well. Because he's a Livonia guy, mayor of Detroit, he's running for governor. He needs the voters of the suburban area. So this type of scandal is deleterious to his efforts. You know, this should be explored more. What's going on while he was mayor? You know, and now he's chasing votes into the suburban areas where Detroit is asking for more money. You know, and they're and if when Mary Sheffield wins, undoubtedly, she's going to be asking for more money via entertainment taxes and whatever ordinances and regulations, for example, like what she just, you know, what they just put in last week with the Zen bans. They're going to be using every means possible to pull more money out of the suburbs.
Well, and I'll tell you the problem is, I mean, this should impact the mayor's race, which is not even a week away. She's got a 51-point lead. Kinloch's not up to it. This should, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the mainstream media does. Do they pick this up and make this something to talk about? Because the city's going to be dealing with it, with her as mayor. And if the media doesn't do their job and inform the voters between now and Tuesday, and then this becomes a bigger scandal, the media is going to be a co-conspirator in covering it up.
My opinion, since COVID, they are. Before COVID, you Google it. Everybody was doing stories on this. And then Biden gets in and COVID comes and it goes away. And we magically redo the demo department and nobody watches anymore. And everybody is refusing to look after the people of Detroit, which is our responsibility. Now, having said this, her people write, she did not have a duty to disclose or recuse herself from any vote based on the city's ethics ordinance and advice she sought and received. Well, I don't believe that. We will be looking into it. But I'm going to call Mark Naida, the executive editor of the Michigan Enjoyer, which, by the way, I don't know about television websites, but in 1 year, we've become the fifth largest news outlet in the state of Michigan and the number one video news outlet. So
didn't know that.
Thanks very much to you, Charlie.
Congratulations.
You too. And Naida. Naida's a smart young man. So let me look him up.
Best editor there is.
I think you're right.
He shines it up good.
Let me see. Not mine. Don't touch my shit. Just make sure it's legal, motherfucker.
Okay. He fixes my spelling errors.
It's called spell check, Dodo. Okay. And our high tech, let's plug him in. I'll call him and put him on speaker. We good? Can you hear that?
This is Mark.
Mark who? And of what outlet, please?
Mark Naida, Michigan Enjoyer.
Sir, before air, I asked you to look up the ethics ordinance, and you told me what?
Well, we found it. You know, Dave Bing had to clean up a little bit of a mess on the ethics front when he became mayor of Detroit. And in November 1st of 2012, he signed an executive order stating the following. Personal relationships, especially between supervisors and subordinates, may undermine the sound operation of city functions due to creating the appearance of favoritism in employment decisions, loss of employee morale, interference with the functioning of supervisory subordinate relationships, and allegations of sexual harassment. Now, deep within this executive order, there is a point that any employee, as defined in this executive order, who exercises significant authority over a contract is permitted from having a personal relationship with the contractor.
Prohibited, you mean?
Prohibited.
Okay.
Or any person who provides goods or services to the city of Detroit under that contract.
So that's executive order. That's pretty much law of the land, isn't it?
That's pretty clear cut, too. That's not ambiguous.
Prohibited from having a personal relationship with the contractor. I don't know if it could get more clear than that.
In layman's terms, no fucking.
No getting to know each other.
Who enforces it?
Who's supposed to enforce this? I think it'd probably be Office of the Inspector General.
Yeah.
I believe that there's a city ethics board who complaints are risen to, and then they deem whether it rises to, you know, a misdemeanor level that state law enforcement needs to take care of.
Good luck with that.
Obviously, there has to be some appetite to file an ethics complaint against very powerful people within the city. And, you know, Detroit, in so many ways, is a go-along, get-along town among the elite. And I doubt anything was filed in the instance we're talking about here.
So listen here, boss. This a story to you?
This seems to be a story.
Is this a major fucking story?
I would say so. I don't know if they've kept the voting records, but I highly doubt that Mary Sheffield recused herself from all votes on contracts regarding...
No. In fact, her people said it was her duty to do so.
To vote.
She was obligated to vote.
Obligated to vote. And they claim, and we're going to dig this up, I'm assuming... They claim she voted no on every single one of them.
And according to this executive order, she may have had an obligation to vote, but she was prohibited from having the relationship in the first place. So
this fucking circular.
Could be a both and here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so just hang there a second. Picking up on what you guys said. Most people now are voting absentee, so what's done is done, right? But now walking into the big chair, nobody cares about city council. They care about the mayor's office. We have a major environmental scandal. The guy trying to get back into business with the city, being kicked out by fucking Big Oil, Marathon Petroleum Corporation. Somebody told me a city council is ass is grass. We assume that to be so. But... who's going to pay? She now has to make a decision. We have no money. Who's going to pay for the cleanup? Because this guy's not going to pay for it.
Well, we know who's going to pay for the cleanup or who they're going to ask.
Who's that?
The suburbs.
The state, the suburbs, right? The people of Detroit.
The Metro Detroiters.
Just all of us in Michigan. Yes. Again, the feds, right? Okay. Are we going to test more of these sites? If 80% is coming up, is... She once called for a congressional hearing into these the sorts of demolition dirt way back when, never followed through. So way back then, we never got a look. Are we going to get the look? Are we going to find out what happened here? That's what now faces her right off the rip. Am I wrong?
No. 40 lots is a pretty good sample size for the city. If 33 of them have toxic dirt, of the 2,500 plus, because 2,500 is just the number you quoted his company doing, how many lots across the city? And if it's running at a similar sample of 80%, we're talking about thousands of lots with toxic dirt.
Now consider this, in certain areas of Detroit, specifically on the western side of Detroit, they were tearing down homes and backfilling aggressively, specifically in the aforementioned Brightmoor, where they had multiple crews running in the time period that we're talking about.
And this numbnuts, he seems to think he's trying to throw other people under the bus, like city-approved dirt sourcing. They're like, fuck that guy. But he doesn't know. I hope he's listening. The year you're looking at, dude, ain't the year that they got you on. So, and, you know, I'm aware of who the authorities are talking to and what they're asking for. It does not. Does not look good. And right back to you, Mark, again, you are prohibited from having a relationship with a contractor with business in front of you.
That seems to be the case. And if her chief of staff is admitting to the relationship, I think high time for an ethics complaint.
So she hits the ground running as mayor with a scandal and complaints already coming at her.
Yeah, and you know what he was hitting. All right, man, thank you. I'll get to you after we finish up the program, figure out where we're going with this.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Wow. Do we know too that any of that dirt ended up just in Detroit? It could have. Did it go anywhere else?
Yeah. Well, we know Southfield, Michigan, where Northland Mall, America's First, was. It was funneling through there. That's what it appears to be. And that's what whistleblowers are telling the authorities. I went to see Southfield and let them know. They didn't seem to know. I hope they now know. Because we're going to have to go there. Because we love Southfield as much as we love Detroit. You know what I'm saying? It's our people.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Sure.
Can anybody file the ethics complaint? Or is this all like it has to be from somebody in city or a city resident?
Oh, let me just look at my ethics guidebook here.
I figured you might know, but you would think anybody could.
If you're going to file an ethics complaint, then you're going to have to put
your name
up. Some information together.
Yeah.
You know, just, I don't like him. I suspect something's going on. Yeah. That's why I said nothing. Mm-hmm. Again, you can walk around City Hall and everybody goes like this. Hey, did you hear about this? Right?
So it's possible that a private agency or a private individual could have ground tested in these various sites themselves that we don't previously know about.
The inspector general, we did the story, the first, oh, we got whistleblowers, right? The inspector general picks up on it, finds the whistleblowers, does their own investigation, and requires the city demolition department to test these 40 sites. So it's been done.
Yeah.
So are we going to keep going? Because this 30,000, hey, Mike, you want to keep saying it's 47,000? Be my guess. 30,000 at 80%, 30,000 at 10%. That's 3,000. At 60,000 a whole. What's that, 18 million? I don't even know. I can't do the zeros.
It's too much math for me.
Hey, go ahead. Hit that, bro, on your calculator. Let me just do it. Let's just say it's 3,000. It's the zeros. I know how to do math.
You know how to do math.
I don't like
you're
to miss.
Really good at math. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't like.
I was under the impression there'd be no math in this podcast.
The best podcasts have lots of math.
3,000 holes. Let's say 10% of them times 60,000, and 60,000 was a year or two ago's price. There's inflation.
You're right.
18. And what is it?
18 mil.
18 mil. We don't got 18 mil. We don't got 18 mil.
I think the concerning thing too is there seems to be a total lack of interest from the people in charge to really look into all the whole, I mean, obviously because it comes back to them, or it appears, it seems like it would come back to them, because where is the will to fix it?
There is no will.
Do you want another pun? They want to bury it.
Yeah.
They want to bury it. You're going to dig up 33 holes and call it a day.
So that makes it more transparent that they're doing something wrong.
As the people of Detroit discover what's happened, they're going to be the ones that drive this.
Hopefully.
I mean,
somebody.
Because I don't think it'll be driven by the media that should be informing people, but I got to think people in the communities where this happened are going to be outraged.
Should we be informing people? Is this of the public interest?
That's kind of what the media is here for.
I thought so. Yeah. Boy, that's when it used to be the press.
Yeah.
Now we became a slick version called the media. You know, just come on, I give you some.
But now when they ignore it, you got social media, though, to amplify things that people aren't hearing otherwise.
God, it's fucked. It's
the media can be pulled to
after
it.
After living through fucking Flint. Right. And we missed it. I remember working at Fox, too, and getting in a fight with my producer. Like,
was it Ken Beck?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was all you all. Because I'm like, hey, man, I've been on the road. We did one story on Flint when we were doing the Americans. We were tasked with covering the whole country and getting that on all of their subsidiaries. Right. So we were like syndicated. And we came back, and then it came back for sure. Flint's been poisoned. And it was like, well, what have we fucking been doing here for 2 years? We all did one story, the water's brown. And then we didn't do shit. And I was angry about it. And I said, never again. Never again am I going to let that slide. I want to apologize to Flint that I didn't do enough.
But to Mark's point about the
But I'm sorry.
No, I get it.
I'm sorry. And, you know, like, everybody I know is like, yeah, Jeremy's playing in the mud again. And I'm like,
this is another example of when you have a city or a region that's operating under one party control. So to Mark's point about the will, there is no will because it's a institutional capture. In the Flint water crisis, you had a Republican governor that the media could frame as the bad guy, or you had random people working out in Lansing that they could frame as the bad guy that you could ostensibly, you know, kind of build a permission structure that, oh, these are, this is the other party. We can chase this down.
What are you saying? Permission structure?
Right down here in the heart. Right down here in Detroit, there's no political will because it's one party rule.
Well, there was none in Flint either, dude.
Yes, but at that time we had.
What do you know about Flint? Did you do a fucking one story on Flint? What do you know?
I've been in there for 25 years.
Yeah, what do you know, though? Again, what we know is what we know here. It's not black. It's not white. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. It's class. The political class and the upper class taken from us and fucking us. Right? Okay. Black city councilwoman now going to be the mayor. The white mayor now wants to be the governor. The black contractor who's rubbing elbows with high white society. And who's the fourth? Let's see. And the white attorney general. Where you at? Democrats, independents, right? Former, you know, Duggan's dad was a fucking Republican. Like, this is, I'm not buying that. It's green. It's green. And they might not be the sexiest stories, but like you heard that woman, Mary, if people getting hurt out there, everything's great. Let me give you, I like it because it got me fired up, man. The Washington fucking Post that abandoned us over these last many years through COVID, the lies, the Russia hoax, the lies. You decided you were teaming up. You were going to be the dog at the table of the elite and do their fucking dirt. No pun intended. Now they want to be middle of the road. So I put it up, dude. I can't see that. This is what the Washington Post put out. Was it this week or late last week?
October 22nd.
Well, okay. A week ago? Last week. Mm-hmm. I can't see that, bro. I want to read it.
Okay.
So put it up. Can't you blow it up? Can you get me off?
Yeah, give me 1 second.
Okay, we're just going
to... That's an effort, real quickly.
Man, Charlie, your eyes are bad.
That's an effort to normalize Mom Donnie to Midwest. They're trying to...
No, did you read this?
No, but I'm just speaking very quickly.
Well, that's not what this is about. Again, we'll read it, then we'll go. Oh, there we go. Look at that.
It's glaring at you.
Vision of awesomeness. You'll see what it is, bro. And then it's different than what you think. Okay, so Washington Post. Detroit and its outgoing mayor model big city comeback. Subheadline. Zoran Mamdani could learn a lot from Mike Duggan. It's not about Mamdani at all. All right, here we go. I'm just going to read this. We'll jump in. A dozen years ago, Detroit stood out. This is the editorial page. A dozen years ago, Detroit stood out as America's decaying symbol of urban dysfunction. Once the nation's fourth largest city, its population dipped below 700,000 in 2013 for the first time since World War I. With the nation's highest homicide rate, Motor City became known as Murder City. It was one of the poorest big cities in America with the highest child poverty rate and worst unemployment. That year, that's the year of bankruptcy now, Detroit gained the ignominy of being the largest city in America to ever declare bankruptcy. After 12 years of sound management, Detroit has bounced back like an urban Lazarus. Its rebound offers lessons for other struggling large cities. Detroit has seen its first population uptick in decades. Okay. When Mike Duggan came to office in 2013, the estimated population was 680,000 to 700,000. In today's new estimation, it's 640. We lost 40,000 to 60,000 people under this dude. That is no comeback. That is no uptick. The uptick lies in this. The Census Bureau decided they're going to use new metrics like change of address, postal stuff, utility bills. Every metropolitan area, every big city except Frisco, gained population. This is no miracle. It's also known and said by the census that most of these are illegals. So we gained a couple thousand people because we recounted them. We moved people in here that we're trying to move out. Nonsense. Okay, unemployment at 8.8% is still above the national average, but down from its peak of 23%. I don't know, the labor participation rate, those who actually work, not unemployment is measured by those looking for work. Detroit's labor participation rate is less than 50%. So with this SNAP deal and the government shutdown, holy hell's coming here, because that's a stupid statistic that the Washington Post is out to lunch on. Homicides fell last year to the lowest since 1965. We've been using that since 1965 for the last 4 years. What do we know about homicide?
That they haven't been accurately recording them.
How do we know that?
Because you did the research on the coroner's numbers as compared to what the police department is producing in the FBI.
Now everybody's going, Chicago's numbers are fake. DC's numbers are fake. Newsom's numbers are fake. Detroit's numbers are fake. They reclassified these things. They took them out. Homicide's 10% higher. The response times, as I reported. You're adding in traffic stops as 911 responses, making your response time go way down. It's been a mirage.
In within police infrastructure, they refer to this as juking the stats.
Yes. LA got rung up for it a while ago. New York got rung up for it. Dude. Come to the southwest side. Okay. The once desolate streets of downtown are bustling.
Well, downtown is different than the suburbs.
Is it bustling? I work down here.
Only on game days.
On game days, yeah.
Okay. There you go. On game days. Well said.
And even on game days, there's bars right outside of LCA that are closed.
Today's not a game day. I didn't see no bustling. It's funny you say that because the next sentence here, this is how they spin it. It's how Duggan spin it. Even the Detroit Lions football team, which failed to win a single game in 2008, is playing like a Super Bowl contender. So, for your hockey bros, friends of mine, you know what I mean?
From all four of the teams are doing well. Duggan has done an amazing job.
Due to Duggan. Thanks a lot.
That's how they sell it. Okay, on the fiscal side, Detroit has now had 12 consecutive balanced budget and managed to put $500 million into a rainy day fund. The terms of the bankruptcy. You must have a balanced budget. How do we get a balanced budget? $150 million a year is supposed to go to pensions. For 10 years, Detroit got a pension holiday. They didn't pay pensions. Who paid the pensions? DeLorean, who paid the pensions?
That's questionable.
The burbs.
Yeah.
The burbs and the philanthropic organizations, right? So we didn't sell off
the
art.
It's the redistribution of wealth.
So for 10 years, Duggan didn't have to pay the pensions. That's $150 million a year for 10 years, $1.5 billion. He managed to put $500 million in a rainy day fund. Okay. That's wrong, Washington Post. The rainy day fund has $150 million. There's the pension fund, which has $350 million because Detroit now has to start paying its pensions.
They lumped the pension fund
with the rainy day fund. This is the Washington Post. So we've got 2 years of pension cushion because the state, the suburbs aren't paying the pensions anymore. That's why Duggan's getting gone, because revenue never grew. He never managed to find an extra nickel after 10 years of getting $150 million off the budget.
What's the annual pension payments?
About $150.
Per year?
Yeah.
That the city now has to come up with?
Yeah. And we got $350 million in the... This is simple, man.
In the current system.
I'm not going to get
How underfunded is the pension?
Remains to be seen. We don't want to get people hung up in it. The simple math... You ask very good questions. These are very good questions. But for simple math, 150 a year, that's 300. We got 350 million in that thing, right?
People need to understand. The general fund is 1.5 billion, right?
Right. So 10% of the budget's got to go to
So they need to come up with 150 million on top of that. And police and fire contracts are up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want a minimum of 3% increase. I don't know what their budget line is. But you're talking about probably $200 million a year in new revenues that the city needs.
Exactly.
That's it.
So therein lies why they're
That's why you
going to hit the ground running here real shortly with brand new entertainment tax.
Well, it's called a sales tax. So just put entertainment out of your head. It starts with a hockey arena surcharge, and then it's going to slide into restaurants.
But this is a back-end way to tax the suburbs for the city's problems.
Well, and then again, Detroit, Washington Post, we're still the poorest, largest, big city in the country. You just price the city out of using the city.
Yep.
So it becomes a romper room. This is why everybody's leaving. Now, it says the city's bond rating has gone from junk to investor grade. This is true. Junk to the one notch above junk. Okay. And if you look at the city's books, there's no room to borrow. There's no revenue. So you can't, What's to invest in? Okay. All right. Now, but a lot of credit for Detroit's turnaround goes to Mayor Mike Duggan. He was a little known former county official when he made an unlikely run for mayor in 2013. He ran as a write-in candidate in the nonpartisan primary after opponents took court action to force him from the ballot because he hadn't lived in the city limits long enough. He hadn't lived in the city for a year. He lacked the backing of major unions and black churches, long prerequisites to winning citywide, and he was a white man. At least they're capitalizing white.
I did notice that when I read it. Yeah.
Okay.
First time I've seen
never
it.
See that.
Yeah, so that's fair.
AP, by the way, AP rules say to capitalize black and say not to do white.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
As a white man to be mayor of a city that was 80% black and remains so. What Duggan had was a track record as a turnaround artist, having rescued the financially ailing Detroit Medical Center hospital systems. Well, when he left and DMC sold out to a private organization, they found copious Medicaid fraud. They, at the time, were fined the largest amount a hospital ever had for fraud and kickback in American history. Because this place is so corrupt, Barbara McQuaid, the U.S. attorney, now your favorite MSNBC expert, and somehow got a job right away at the University of Michigan with full tenure, wanted to thank Mike Duggan for reporting, you know, the oversight. Largest Medicaid fraud settlement in history at the time. Now, Detroit is willing to try something new and someone new. It goes on, but they got someone old. He focused initially on quality of life issues, the mundane stuff of governing. He relit the city's streetlights. That was Dave Bing. Remember, Ken?
Yep. Yeah, and some of those streetlights turned off under Duggan.
Duggan.
Duggan, sorry.
Tell the suburbs.
Right out in the suburbs.
40% of which were broken and partnered with businesses to install security cameras. He demolished almost all of the 47,000 abandoned and dilapidated homes that had become eyesores and drug dens. Well, we're going to look into that one.
Almost doing a lot of work there.
Now we got a problem, don't we? Don't we? The population exodus had left behind a large stock of fixable homes, which attracted young first-time home buyers from more expensive markets. The flight of business from downtown meant large tracts of commercial property were available at discount prices. Duggan used generous tax breaks and other incentives to become a magnet for job creators. This was all the oligarchs. These are all, this is the Gilbert and Illich. What are you talking about? Revenue has not grown at all. We're on the fiscal ropes again, and that's why you're getting out. Washington Post, give me a call. Working with a largely cooperative city council, he offered hundreds of millions of dollars in tax abatements. It's in the billions. The Ford Motor Company, for example, received a $104 million break for its renovation of the historic Michigan Central Station. Did you guys just hear that? Mm-hmm. Ford's pretending like they, right?
Financed the whole
thing. It was all of us. Yeah. The state gave money. Okay, but we go on. Another beneficiary was billionaire Dan Gilbert, founder of Quicken Loans and owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who bought vast amounts of downtown real estate. Gilbert's latest addition to Detroit skyline is a 681-foot skyscraper for offices and apartments on the site of the old Hudson's department store. Long behind budget, generously funded every year by the taxpayer of the state of Michigan, and that's why you can take 10 years to build an erector set. You would lose your ass if it wasn't for us covering your loss. Come on, Post. Duggan's revival strategy has gotten predictable criticism from the left. I ain't the left, and I ain't the right. I'm just a dude. I can count. They don't like tax breaks for the rich. I don't. Not if you don't need them. Because that's called capitalism. Risk, reward. Mm-hmm. And complained that the benefits of redevelopment have been too slow to trickle down. They have not trickled down. But Detroiters have liked what they've got. Duggan was reelected twice with over 70%. The mayor opted not to seek a fourth term so he can run for governor in 2026 as an independent. Why? We've already discussed this. Why would you be an independent? He's polling equally with Jocelyn Benson in Detroit. DeLorean, in Detroit.
I know.
This is your... Hey, we've got 70%. Then why aren't you getting 70% against Benson?
There's slight buyer's remorse, isn't there?
I smell bullshit. Where'd I leave off? Okay, the leading candidate in the polls to replace him in the November 4th mayoral election, City Council President Mary Sheffield. Ooh, getting to know her. Just getting to know her. Promises to continue Duggan's policies while also, demolition policies. While also offering what she calls a more progressive and people-centered agenda. What enabled Duggan's Detroit's turnaround is no secret. Make hard choices to get the fiscal house in order. I thought that was Kevin Orr. I thought that was the emergency manager that left you the keys to the car and you drove it off a cliff. Just watch, folks. Instead of promising free stuff the city cannot afford. But he gave free stuff away. They just said it. Partner with business and investors instead of chasing them away with higher corporate taxes and so-called millionaires' taxes. Focus on reducing crime instead of demonizing and defunding the police. If Democrats, here's yours. This is why I was, see, it's not about, let me read it and then we'll go there. If Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani wins the mayor's race in New York, he'd be wise to take a trip to Detroit. Mayor Duggan has lessons to offer.
I'll just make one point on this.
Go ahead.
The framing on this is interesting. I know you're catching what's going on in this. This isn't a letter fluffing up Duggan. Because most Michigan voters don't read the Washington Post.
Right.
That's a letter to the far left in New York trying to, that's the effete New Yorkers sending a message to Zamdani. Please don't screw us over too hard when you become mayor. That's the whole point of that.
I don't think so, but you can believe that.
What they're proselytizing, though, within that is the tax breaks to the billionaires, mm-hmm. to the oligarchs. I mean, that they are proselytizing that to Zamdani. I will say this. When you the secret of the Detroit story is that every other city has gone to shit at the same time that Duggan has kept plate spinning and kept the facade of the city looking good. But the bill that's going to come due for Detroit relative to the bills that are going to come to the other big cities around the country is going to be big. And Sheffield's going to be the one that's got to navigate through the shitstorm when it hits, because we already talked about all the problems the city's facing, but there's a lot more that you haven't talked about that are going to become big ass problems. I don't think she's equipped for it. She's a junior varsity member,
yes.
of the machine. And she is at best going to be an avatar for the oligarchs.
Agreed.
I agree.
And then I'm going to tell you what I think this is. New Yorkers don't read this. They read the Post. They read the Daily News. And the sophisticated ones read the New York Times. This was purchased. There's a whole game going on, right? You deal with it. PR, you call your people, right? You arrange this stuff. This was meant for us. This was written for us, for him, to become governor. That's an ad. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
that's what I see it as. Yeah. Again, no disrespect, but
that's because just like the billboards that you're seeing up and down 75 that have Governing Magazine calling, yes. Duggan the best mayor in America. I guarantee you're going to see quotes pulled from this throughout his campaign.
You're right.
Validating him.
Well, he's already retweeted it and posted on Instagram. You know, segments from the story repeatedly. So
my only thought is, and I agree with everything you guys are saying. My only thought is I find it highly questionable that your average working class Michigan resident reads the WAPO.
No, they don't. No, but they're going to read these quotes and TV ads and billboards and digital ads.
What a Birdie XG Service Group just walked in.
I didn't think of that. You're right.
Yeah, that's what it is. Now, I am.
So I'll be driving up north to Gaylord.
Hey, Mike, shut the fuck up. Fucking perspiring and put my Mando on.
You're sweating.
Oof, I am. This is so hard. This is so hard. It is. Man, it makes me sweat. It makes me fidget. Makes me tweak. All I got's the Lions. It is football season. The grass smells fresh. And I just got this box of Mando.
Is that extra strength you're putting on?
Dude, this shit is nice, man. It's light. Citricy, and it stops you sweating before you get there. Just give it a smell. Just give it a smell.
Oh, let me check.
It really is quite nice.
Oh, that's your arm. It smells great too.
I'm good.
Okay. You want to try some body oil?
No, I'm fine.
So I got The stick deodorant with sweat control, whole body deodorant here. The spray's just good. It's good stuff. For pits, packages, and feet, it's for dudes. Packages. Don't buy the, you know, you go into CVS and you get the whatever fucking stick, the green and black one or whatever.
Right guard.
Yeah, right guard.
That you need the attendant to unlock the glass to get to.
Yeah, this can be shipped right to your house. Get the box. Perfect for new customers. Solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes. Karen likes these. Acidified deodorant wipes. Okay, anyway, you go to shopmando.com, shopmando.com, shopmando.com. Mention no BS, 20% off. I actually am using this. I don't really use it. I don't need it.
It's an upgrade from what you were doing.
Yeah, it was kind of, wasn't it?
Nothing.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to be honest about it.
Do they have patchouli?
You know, sometimes like... You drink too much coffee, you have too much beer, you know, the next day your ass is stinging. Just pH'd it right out, dude. I was like, it's a fucking miracle. Not only does it smell good, stop sweating. You got my pH level just right. Shopmando.com. It's true.
I think they're going to increase the size of their sponsors.
Send me some more, Mando. Hey, Ken, did you get yours yet? What are you thinking?
I haven't opened it yet.
Oh, he hasn't opened it yet. Let me.
What are you doing?
Let me get some of yours. Let's go for the ass, bro.
I wondered what smelled.
You put it on your ass?
We sprayed all over this show. It's so ass. All right. Now, real quick, it's the holiday season. We link this into who is going to enter into an ethics violation in the city. Mark, play one of my clip from one of my favorite movies.
Ah. You don't need to be scared. It's just me, Dana Nessel.
Well, quick news on Dana. You're supposed to show up for your hearing November 4th. Raise your hand, swear on the Bible, bring the documents. House Oversight wants to talk to you about the old lady with the brain damage and a couple of other things. I don't think you've responded. I don't think you've responded. If you don't, I this is just a guess. It ain't going to turn out well. What a show this is. This is a show. This fucker's red hot. It's popping like crickets on a griddle, Bernie. Did you bring your man crack?
Yeah. Losing my man crack.
He's losing his man crack.
He's lost a lot of weight.
No matter the size of your man crack, Mando straightened it right out, bro. Okay, and finally, I got another letter. This is fucked up, the internet.
People can, I can't believe you get letters.
I got a letter from Gregory Baltiff.
Ah, yeah.
AKA Mr. Positive. I thought we'd all open it together.
Yeah. Oh, it's unopened.
Unopened.
Boy, I remember him from back in the 90s.
Exactly. He's still around, bro.
He's still around.
Oh, he's on Cuomo. He's on Stephen A.
He was a regular at Powerhouse Gym in Canton. I used to see him every day.
What was he doing? Just
well, just talking.
You can do it, brother. Yeah. Be positive, brother. Five more.
The ultimate spotter.
The ultimate spotter. Here we go, Mr. Positive. What'd you send me, you crazy old guy? Okay. Oh, anthrax. Okay. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Look, powder all over.
Got that out of his trapper keeper.
He wrote it on like some sixth grader paper.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Look, notebook paper.
I love that.
Ooh, $100 bill.
Nice.
What? Payola. Graft, corruption.
Should I do it in his voice?
You guys getting to know each other?
Should I do it in his voice?
Do it in his voice.
Yes. Warriors.
Warriors. Sir Charles, thanks. Go out to dinner. Mr. Positive.
Oh.
Loved you. You changed my life.
Oh.
Look at that.
That's nice.
That's great.
That's really nice. You know what I'm going to do with that? Mr. Positive.
I haven't seen him in 20 years, 25 years.
We got any of his clips? You couldn't find it right away, could you?
I don't have, not that quick.
Yeah, Mark's like, nah. For Drew's show, he'd find it.
No. I don't think I'd find it that quick either.
Don't forget, there's the Soul, the Red Shovel Network Consortium of Podcasts, Soul of Detroit with ML Elric, and the Drew Lane Show. Mm-hmm. Biggest show in Michigan, one of the biggest ones in the country. I am going to take this 100.
Get to know it.
I'm gonna buy some hungry people some dogs.
Great,
outstanding,
awesome.
All right, okay. Want a beer too? I said I do what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to get Jason fed. All right. Thank you all very much. Fight to power. Vote. Vote often. Apparently, can vote every day.
Well, let me plug my piece.
Yeah. I thought you did earlier.
No, not yet. I got tomorrow. I think tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it'll be Friday. I got a piece dropping. It's tomorrow.
Enjoyer.com.
Enjoyer.com.
Story and a video.
I'm putting my thoughts out on this smokeless tobacco dip and Zen ban that the Detroit City Council has voted into place by 7-2. And Ken and I, the Enjoyer, our Enjoyer video guy, we went and we violated that ban Saturday night.
Ooh.
At the Red Wing game.
Ethics violation.
We got ethics violations coming, and we proudly violated it. And
so this isn't a correction, but by your reporting, I owe a slight apology to Chris Illich. I blamed him for not having a smoking area at Tiger Stadium, and it wasn't his idea at all. It was city council's.
Yep.
This is what they're doing.
By the way, in a place full of beer that broadcasts on a fucking gambling platform. And the problem is tobacco.
And Ken and I had to wade through about a block of marijuana smoke to get into the building.
Fuck you guys, man. Like, now you want to get rid of booze and weed and gambling? Is that your answer?
I don't want us taxing everything? These sins.
I'm not complaining. I just want to be able to dip and watch Dylan Larkin rip it up down the ice. That's all I want
to
do.
Have a cigarette. My God.
By the way, Dylan Larkin playing fantastic. Mm-hmm. Best hockey I've ever seen in my life.
That's excellent. Save it for your podcast. But thanks for being here. Jason Murray, the Michigan Enjoyer, enjoyer.com. And Jason Rowe, all things political everywhere across planet Earth. Thanks, boys.
Love you.
See you.